God, I thank you for your presence here, that growing awareness of who you are and what you're doing in our midst and the way in which you're calling and leading us on. I pray that you might lead us to continually lay down our lives to serve you and to see each day as a new opportunity with new joys to embrace your call upon our lives. Pray that you open our hearts and minds now to hear your word, that what is planted here today might bear good fruit for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Amen.
Robert.
Morena, good morning, everybody. Our first reading is from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. And as we know, these are Paul's last words from a Roman prison. Almost alone, only Luke is with him. His life is almost over. He faces being executed. Confident and thankful for God's eternal presence. What a man. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might know it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, atuwairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tana, kupu kia tata. The gospel reading is from Luke's gospel, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti, te karoria ki te atua. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei atakaraiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ia te kupu mana.
Thank you.
Tēnā koutou katoa, kia ora e hui hui mai nei. I mihi ana ki Ngāti Toa, Te Atiawa, Ngāti Raukawa, he tangata Tiriti Ahau, ko Miriam Toku Ingoa. So nice to be here sharing with you this morning. My name is Miriam. So Tama and I have just come back from a trip overseas. And while we were away, we went to the UK, and if we could just pop those photos up, we had this absolute joy of getting to stay with Mark and Katie. Oh, I know. So this is on St. Peter's Vicarage, just a photo of the sign because it's kind of cute. You can put the next one on. So that's them outside their church, St. Peter's. They look good, eh? So good. And look, that's Tama and Mark. Look, Tama's cut his hair. I know, sorry. Yeah, you wouldn't have seen that. But like 2 days before we left, he cut all his hair off. For people who don't know, Tama, he's got hair down to, well, he had hair down to like about there. Cut it all off, bit of a change. Yeah, and that's us inside their church there. So, yeah, we had three really beautiful days with them, seeing the sights of London and looking at Buckingham Palace. And we went around their village, and it was so nice to see them in their new home and finding their way around. They had actually only been in the house for a couple of weeks when we got there, because it was getting done up, so we helped them move their couch in, and yeah, it was really great. And they just want to send their love to you all and say that they miss everybody, and but they're really good and they're happy and they're settling in. So yeah, it's a nice way. I thought it was a nice way to start this morning. So I want to start with a little bit of a survey this morning, and just by way of raising your hands. And it isn't to shame anyone at all, but it's just to help me illustrate my sermon point. Okay, so I just want you to know that I personally can say yes to every single one of the questions that I'm about to ask you. So who has got at least one DIY project at their home that you started a little while ago and you haven't finished yet? I see that hand. All right. If we're thinking about crafts, who's got maybe a jersey or a cardi you've been knitting, a dress or a skirt that you've sewn, or a cross stitch maybe that you haven't quite finished yet that's at your house? Oh, yeah, nice, okay. Who has an unfinished book somewhere in their house? Oh, yeah, okay. Who, this one's especially for Ben, who has an unreplied email sitting in their inbox?
It's true.
Does anyone have unmown lawns? Oh, yeah. Does anyone have hair that desperately needs a cut and they just haven't booked it? Yeah. Okay. And this is probably the one at our house that happens the most. Has anyone got clean washing that's there, but it hasn't been folded or put away?
It's on the
armchair. Yeah, on the armchair. Yeah, yeah. So I bet by now you're probably wondering what kind of state my house is in. but I just want you to think for a moment, I want us to think for a moment, what does it mean to really finish well? Because often in life and in faith, people start strong. So when I first became a Christian, I started out really strong. I was reading my Bible. I had a Bible highlighter, you know, and I was highlighting all the passages of my Bible. This is going to show my age. I don't know if the demographic's quite right, if there's people in their 40s here, because this will be it, but maybe some other people will know. I was listening to my Amy Grant straight up tape, my Petra, not of this world tape, my Carmen Radically Saved tapes, yeah, on repeat. So I started really strong, and that's great. But in our verse today, I think the message that Paul was making was it's not just about how we start, but it's also about how we finish. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. When I read that passage, or when I hear that passage read this morning, I hear this kind of confidence in Paul's statement, sort of, but also like a peace and a kind of acceptance that comes from having given it his all, having modeled his life on the race of Jesus. So how do these verses that we've heard kind of link together? We've got these readings this morning, but how do we get to the end where we're finishing well? And I think there's three things that kind of, well, for me, there's three things that sort of tie these verses together. And they are humility, faithfulness, and living in God's presence. So in the 17th century, there was this French monk named Brother Lawrence. Has anyone heard of Brother Lawrence? Okay, that's cool. Lots of you have. So I'm probably telling you information that you know. This was new to me about who he was, but I do know about his teaching, but I hadn't put the two and two together. So after being wounded in the war, he was really disillusioned, and so he decided to join a Carmelite monastery in Paris. I've been to Paris. I can say that now. On my trip, that was one of the places I went. That's not point of story, sorry. But he joined this monastery in Paris as a lay brother, not as a priest. And he was only 26 years old. It's really young. He worked most of his life in the kitchen, cooking meals and scrubbing pots. And then when he got a bit older, he got a bit unwell, and so he repaired sandals. But there was obviously something really special about Brother Lawrence, because people began to seek him out for spiritual advice. And one of the things that he's sort of quoted as saying is, "In the noise of the kitchen, while several persons are calling for different things at the same time, that's when he experiences God's presence." And Brother Lawrence believed that every task, even the smallest or the messiest, could be done as sort of this act of worship with love and awareness of God. And he lived this out day after day for decades until he died at the age of 77. And he said he felt as close to God washing the dishes as others did in the chapel. And Brother Lawrence, he didn't seek any kind of recognition, but after his death, his letters and his recorded conversations were actually published as a book that some of you may have heard of in 1692, called The Practice of the Presence of God. And that book has never gone out of print in 330 years. It's been translated into over 30 languages, and it's estimated to have sold millions of copies worldwide. And he had this humility. He was just this humble kitchen worker who never preached a sermon and never led a movement, but his actions, and I guess maybe the way that he displayed the love of Jesus, shaped generations of Christian spirituality. And I guess kind of like the tax collector in our reading this morning, who came quietly before God asking for mercy, Brother Lawrence didn't make a show of his holiness. He just lived in this constant conversation with God in the kitchen. And I think in 2 Timothy, when Paul says, "I've finished the race," he's not sort of talking about this kind of single moment of victory at the end when you cross the finish line, but this lifetime of faithfulness. Brother Lawrence finished his race in the kitchen, sort of humbly, faithfully, and in God's presence. And when he died, he left behind this peace and this joy and this encouragement for us here. And I realise that sounds quite simple. Just be humble, be faithful, and live in God's presence, and you'll finish well. But we all know realistically life isn't quite that simple. And it's really hard. It's hard staying faithful when things are difficult. And trusting God in the dark places. And I'm sure that we can all think back to times in our life where we feel like we've been in a kind of dark tunnel. And some of you might be in a place like that right now in your life, where you can't kind of see like a hand in front of you. And the only thing that we can do is trust Jesus with our lives, that we'll get out. That soon we'll begin to see like this little speck or this little glimmer of light at the end and know that we're going to make it through to the other side. So I moved to Waikanae when I was 4 years old, and I lived there for 7 years, and we didn't move until I was 11. And I had the best friends when I lived here. I went to Waikanae Kindy and to Kapa Kapa Nui School and Waikanae Baptist Church, and I was really happy. And actually, Sue, you're here. Sue, Tim's niece, Kate Climo, if any of you guys know them, she was one of my best, very best friends. And if any of you know Tony and Janet Jack, Tony was a real estate agent. His daughter Sarah was one of my other absolute best friends. And we had a really lovely life, I guess. And when I was 11, my life was turned upside down, and my dad died suddenly on my birthday, actually, on my 11th birthday. And we had to move away from this town because we lived in a manse and we didn't own a house here, and we moved away. And we moved to this, what for me felt like this big city. It was Palmerston North. But, you know, as an 11-year-old, and I'd grown up in the little town of Waikanae, which was a lot smaller than it is now, and I didn't know anyone, and I was really lonely, and I hated it. And all I wanted to do was move back here, and I did, quite a few years later. And I just wanted to click my fingers and have my old life back with my mum and my dad and my sisters and my friends and the house that I knew and the streets that I knew. And I was so desperately lonely, and I was in that dark tunnel. I couldn't see a glimmer of light in that moment. And I can remember, oh, you know all the things that you remember when you're a child, like getting teased at my new school. And I remember on my first day of school when I got lost trying to find my way home. And I can remember feeling just really small town and sheltered, and people spoke a bit differently and they had different jokes. And I think logically I knew that I would make friends, but it was really hard. And I wondered, like, what was wrong with me? And I got to year 12 and year 13, and I was still lonely, and I was in the middle of that tunnel trudging my way through. And I think the only thing that kept my head above water was my relationship with Jesus. The presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I knew he hadn't left me. I knew, even, you know, as a teenager, that I just needed to keep putting one foot in front of the other, even though it was pitch black and I was in the middle of the tunnel. And it was a tunnel that I hadn't actually chosen for myself. And sometimes that's what we find ourselves in, a tunnel that we haven't picked. Sometimes we pick it, bad choice. Sometimes it's just how things end up. And I just clung on to Jesus and on to the presence of God. In 2 Timothy 4:17, it says, "The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." And I think that is what is beautiful. We are not left to do this on our own. You know, God promised that he wouldn't leave us, and he sent us this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit to walk beside us. But I also think the Holy Spirit works through other people around us to encourage us and to help us to walk alongside us. Paul knew what it was like to stand alone. And that verse, he says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. It's quite a big, heavy thing to admit, eh? Sort of the great apostle Paul, the man who sort of planted churches and mentored young leaders and wrote half of the New Testament, says, everyone left me. But then in that same breath, he says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And I think there's something incredibly sort of honest and human about that moment. Paul doesn't deny the pain of being let down, but he recognises that even when people fail him, God remains. That kind of faithfulness of God, that presence of the Holy Spirit, the one who can stand beside us even when others can't. And I think that's kind of one of the things that's at the heart of what it means to finish well. It's not sort of about doing things perfectly or having an easy journey or ending your life with this long list of achievements. It's about who stood with you and who you stood with when things were hard. So who stood with you and who you stood with when things were hard. And when we look at our readings today, there's this beautiful thread that runs through them about God's presence. In Luke 18, the tax collector doesn't come before God with this list of good deeds or successes. He's just standing before God, kind of humbly aware of his need for mercy. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, it's that man, the humble one, who goes home justified before God. In 2 Timothy, Paul's at the end of his life, and he could be boasting about what he'd done, because he was a pretty incredible person. about his missionary journeys or these churches that he planted or these miracles that he performed, but he just says, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. This kind of beautiful, faithful humility, this acknowledgement of the presence of God in his life. And Brother Lawrence in his kitchen. Just standing in the presence of God. And I think that that's the invitation to live in that same awareness of God's presence. I think if we look at the race ahead of us and the distance that we have to go and the hills that we might have to climb, it's quite easy to feel a bit overwhelmed, I think. And you kind of sometimes feel like you might never get out of that dark tunnel. But I guess if we see and we look at who's running beside us, maybe the journey feels a little bit more possible again. And that might be, well, it is God, but it also might be a person that God's put in your life to help you in that moment when you need that the most. And so maybe that's what Paul means by keeping the faith. It's not about never doubting or never stumbling or never feeling tired, but it's about holding on to the one who never lets go of us. So I guess this morning, I'd just like to spend a little bit of time individually, just praying and really asking God to bring things to your mind that he wants to. For some of you, it might be a kind of reminder to walk in humility. For some of you, it might be that faithfulness, try and hold on to that faithfulness. You might feel like you're in a dark tunnel, and you need encouragement, and you need to feel God's presence watching over you and protecting you. For some of you, perhaps God might bring someone to mind that you know is in a bit of a tunnel. And he might be prompting you to pray for someone else, to be that friend that walks beside them. It was nice when you said about how Luke was with Paul. You know, he had that person. Who is it that God wants you to reach today? Who is it that might need that extra bit of help, that extra prayer? So just as Ben comes up and he's going to play for us, I just want us to spend a little bit of time just thinking about those three things. And spend some time praying for those things, or bringing those things before God in prayer, before I finish up with a prayer. Do we need a reminder to walk in humility? Are we in a bit of a dark tunnel? Do we need to experience that presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us before we see a glimmer of light? Or is there someone else in your life that you know needs to experience God's presence, needs to be encouraged, needs to be helped in some way? Lord Jesus, this morning we bring these prayers before you. We ask that you help us to come before you with humble hearts. As maybe we've reflected back on the moments, times in our life where we've felt like we've been in a tunnel, we thank you for being beside us. We thank you for the people that you placed in our lives to help us on our journey. Lord, we just lift up those who are in that tunnel right now. We ask that you give them your peace. We ask that you help them feel the presence of you. And this morning, Lord, we lift up the names of the people who you've placed on our hearts. We ask that you give us opportunities to love them, to look after them. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to walk with us. And we thank you for the reminder to fight the good fight, to finish the faith, the race, and to keep the faith.